once again, dear listener, and thank you for listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host for the next hour, and you are listening to Datum Line. In our previous Datum Line broadcast, entitled Dictatorship of Debt, Part 8, we continued our challenge that free enterprise capitalism was not rescued from the Great Depression of the 1930s by President Roosevelt's socialist New Deal programs. Free enterprise capitalism was already on its deathbed by 1934, reeling from highly toxic megadose bank credit therapy that would signal its end by 1968 after enduring a century-long assault by the shamans of central banking. Today's message picks up where we left off in our efforts to apply common sense in defining an economic system that no longer exists under a constitution we abandoned long ago, as well the principles of Scripture, while using an economics vocabulary that has been reduced to sheer nonsense. Later, we will relate free enterprise, capital, and capitalism to the false paradigms propagated by media and academia, which both employ a vague and meaningless vocabulary to perpetrate an incredible mind game. Modern economics is one very powerful mind game, played upon innocent, unsuspecting students by a cadre of pathological liars. In earlier Datum Line broadcasts, we quoted some of America's more candid economists who admitted their inability to define our most common and elementary economic expressions, words like money and dollar. As a result, they cannot define the interrelated expressions credit, debt, cash, currency, or bill of credit, legal tender, pay, paid, payment, or the word note as it applies to the Federal Reserve System. And without an accurate definition by which to tie these words down, it is impossible to unravel the greatest criminal confidence game played upon mankind in human history. But if our society is no longer willing to accept moral absolutes regarding human behavior, why would they appreciate a vocabulary of rigid interpretation? You've probably noticed the increasing level of confusion among our media-saturated population who demonstrate a ready willingness to supply authoritative opinions about subject matter they know little about, eagerly using words they cannot define. But perhaps we're all guilty of this in one way or another. Rational thought has become increasingly subordinated to volatile emotionalism. Is this an accident, or was it planned? See how quickly some of us jump into the deep end of the pool rather than wade cautiously into a subject from the shallow end. We've been conditioned to avoid asking simple-sounding questions or admitting ignorance for fear of humiliation. Modern education subjects us to 12 or more years of mind-altering ridicule from arrogant classmates operating in concert with a few condescending teachers. Some of them became gladiators in mainstream media, exerting the same influence upon viewers who dread the embarrassment inflicted upon them by those sneering experts at the deep end of the pool who pretend to know what they do not understand. You can probably think of a few personalities on certain broadcasting networks. I won't call them by name. Okay, so today's message we'll call Dictatorship of Debt, Part 9 in our ongoing series on economics. Here's our music. This is our first break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Datum Line.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back to this segment of Datum Line, and if you're just joining us at this juncture, I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host, and today's message is entitled Dictatorship of Debt, Part 9. How many parts there are going to be to this series? I don't even know. I'm reminded of two different replies to a letter that I had sent to the Bahamas Development Bank while I was vacationing on the island of Eleuthera, a beautiful island, by the way, over 30 years ago. It was a carefully constructed request for the definition of the word dollar, and you're probably almost sick and tired of me talking about this word. But I wanted to know what the definition of this word was as applied to Bahamian dollar-denominated banknotes. And I was met with genuine interest from a senior-ranking bank official who was unable to answer the question and admitted as much. So he forwarded my letter up the line to the deputy governor of the central bank, who likewise could not answer the question. Although he did not inform me of his inability, he simply forwarded it to the governor of the central bank. Now, it's the governor whose signature appears on all Bahamian central bank notes that circulate in the Bahamas. His reply, the answer to my question, he said, could be found in, quote, any elementary economics textbook, end quote. So what the first and the second high-ranking bank officials could not answer, he absolutely refused to even address. You know, there doesn't seem to be any shortage of monetary experts lounging around the diving board at the deep end of the pool, in sleek, form-fitting swimsuits. But very few of them want to be seen wading in the kiddie pool, where the water level of embarrassment can quickly rise over our heads. For instance, one rather outspoken critic of the Federal Reserve System, who has produced more than one rather polished-looking video documentary about banking, was confronted by an author on monetary issues, who happens to be a friend of mine. And this was not long ago. My friend asked for the definition of the word dollar. Oh, isn't it sickening, huh? It's a simple question, though, right? And the answer can be found in any elementary economics textbook, right? After repeating the question, this well-known speaker, at least in populist circles, replied, quote, "I don't know," end quote, and immediately left the room. Now, perhaps the answer was not so surprising in this modern age of highly educated experts, many of whom are found in the field of personal health care. Ask an AMA-licensed physician to identify the cause of cancer, and the AMA-approved reply will be, "We don't know." But fear not. They're going to treat you anyway. But if we step outside the box for just a moment, you know, the orchestrated paradigm, doesn't it seem reasonable that a cure for cancer can only be found in the understanding of what causes cancer? We're talking about a disease, you understand. We're not talking about broken bones, which might have been caused by falling off a church steeple. Broken bones are obviously not cured by treating steeples. If the engine of your car developed a bad oil leak, evident by the large pool of oil on your garage floor, would you ask a mechanic to treat the symptoms, or would you want him to treat the cause? An allopathic AMA approach might be to design and install an elaborate recirculation system to catch the leaking oil and pump it back into the engine. It should only cost $1,000 or so. It won't cure the leak, of course, but it will prevent any more pooling of oil on your garage floor. An alternative approach might be to replace the oil pan gasket, thus eliminating all symptoms, while curing the problem at the same time. But you see, to our modern-day allopathic mindset, that's just too simple. Our nation's economic health has been treated much the same way by experts trained in what I'll call allopathic economics. They're trained to treat the symptoms and ignore, at all costs, the cause which lies outside the box of false paradigms designed to protect and enhance the criminal confidence game of the banking cartel. In fact, false paradigms are used to protect all kinds of cartels, one of which is the medical cartel. Contrary to allopathic economics applied to our global economic epidemic, if you'll excuse my medical allusion, a cure will never be found by treating the symptoms of rising unemployment, increasing bureaucracy, runaway inflation, the clever white-collar crimes on Wall Street, and so forth. Nor are all of these the natural shortcomings of a free market economy in desperate need of more federal regulation or eventual nationalization, contrary to the prevailing allopathic socialist mindset. Alternative, and by that I mean biblical, economics can answer what allopathic economics cannot or will not. But practitioners and patients alike cannot and will not accept the simplicity of natural remedies, which are, in their operation, far more complex and effective than what initially appears on the surface. For those who are blessed with that rare commodity that was once called common sense, the absolute bottom line cause for our economic insanity is the wholesale violation of every economic principle in Scripture. But our highly educated engineers of the global agenda, steeped in secular humanism, which is the worship of man, particularly elite man, are not the least bit interested in this fact. What may surprise you, though, is that a growing number of Federal Reserve critics who demand what they call honest, constitutional, debt-free money are not interested in honest, constitutional, or biblical debt-free money either. All of this is provable if you will expend the time and energy needed to simply define the words they use, because they certainly have not bothered to do so. I mean absolutely no offense to their many followers, but please take note of the fact that your frontmen are unrelenting in their push for a Marxist solution to a grievous problem rooted in socialist ideology. And to err on only one point of their Marxist mantra might be forgiven temporarily and corrected eventually. But to be flat-out wrong on 4 out of 4 is cause for alarm. Who is ultimately behind their assault upon the Constitution, Scripture, the English language, and even common sense? You know, the civil rights and the anti-war protest movements of the so-called left are used to conceal a hidden agenda which is not suspected by their innocent underlings. But for so-called right-wing and populist sympathizers to think that they cannot be redirected by a hidden agenda is sheer folly. We'll cover this facet of America's false economic paradigm in more detail as we move further into our present Datum Line series. Meanwhile, returning to the subject of free enterprise capitalism and false paradigms, I should explain, for new listeners at least, why so much attention is being given to false paradigms, or what some would call the Hegelian dialectic process as applied to criminal politics and criminal economics, of which these two expressions, free enterprise and capitalism, form an integral part. The answer is simple. For perhaps a century or more, the American public has been told, in essence, that only by increasing government regulation can we hope to bring peace and harmony for the common good of mankind, you understand, by correcting the many flaws inherent to a free enterprise capitalist system. What I hope to prove, however, and may, for some listeners, I may have already proven in previous messages, is that these alleged flaws are both attributable and indigenous to the system of bank credit, which has, from our nation's beginning, operated in antagonism to free enterprise capitalism. You see, banking violates every economic principle of Scripture, is therefore inherently unlawful, and cannot possibly be compatible with a Christian free enterprise economic system. I know. To most Americans, even to most pastors and mainstream Christians, this may seem ludicrous. They don't even think the Bible has anything to say about economics. And life without banking would, to them, be a life not worth living. Why? Because banks are the modern facilitators of the American dream. It's called instant gratification. Of course, instant gratification comes with side effects. Check the PDR for its list of contraindications. Financial addiction, cravings for more baubles and trinkets, an obsession to keep up with the Joneses, sleepless nights mired in sweat due to horrendous credit card debt and threats of repossession and even foreclosure. On the national level, the symptoms include big government and a debt to match, increasing inflation, rising unemployment, an income tax, and the approach of national foreclosure marked by violent revolution and war. When, in a follow-up message, we investigate the half-dozen bank panics of the 1800s which served to justify creating the Fed, a bank to end all banks, you understand, it may strike our listeners that those could not have occurred save for the presence of one essential element, banks. No banks, no bank panics. Simple, huh? But far too simple for most Americans. Alternative healthcare professionals will understand the principle clearly, and we'll discuss it on the other side of this break. You're listening to Datum Line, and I'm Bruce G. McCarthy.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault. 20 seed varieties for only $37.95. Tattler canning lids. Long-term storable foods as low as $69.95. And much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927. MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Hello and welcome back again to this segment of Datum Line. I've decided in this message to equate, or at least parallel, America's economic health to your own personal health, because the similarities are quite clear. And to also acknowledge the people in alternative health care, those professionals who are doing a superlative job in helping people to be cured of disease rather than simply treating the symptoms. You know, a diet high in raw fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds is a diet that will yield little or no opportunity for cancer. But to the average fast food junkie, this answer is too simple, and it challenges the way most of us choose to live, or slowly die living. So they prefer the more dazzling, highly complex, incredibly expensive, and horribly painful treatments of surgery. Try surgery without anesthetics, for example. Radiation and chemotherapy. It's the American way. And we're busy pushing it on the rest of the world. Why is that? You know, to quote Professor Stuart Crane, it took a long time to make us this dumb. It's no accident. So in our own pursuit of being a little less dumb, let's now look for the definition of free enterprise. I'm going to turn to Black's Law Dictionary, 5th edition. And they're going to rely upon a court case entitled Lafayette Dramatic Productions versus Ferentz, F-E-R-E-N-T-Z. It's found at 305 Michigan Reporter at page 193, or the 9 Northwest Reporter, second series, page 57 or 62. Here's the definition, and it's not a very long one. Free enterprise, the right to conduct a legitimate business for profit. Period. That's it. I like short definitions, don't you? But let's break this one down a little bit. It says it's a right to conduct a legitimate business, a right, not a privilege. The word privilege comes from the Latin word privius plus lex, which means private law, as opposed to common law. So you'll probably need permission or a license to pursue a privilege. But free enterprise, you can do by right and not by privilege. Now, that's a right to conduct a legitimate business for profit. But what does the word legitimate mean? Well, let's go to Black's Fifth Edition again. This time, they'll rely upon People versus Commons and United States versus Schneck. That's S-C-H-N-E-C-K. The word legitimate, period. Quote, that which is lawful, legal, recognized by law, or according to law, period. That's it. Legitimate. Well, now, banking is a business, isn't it? And banking is a business conducted for profit, isn't it? Sure it is. But is it legitimate? Well, yes. Assuming deceptive and fraudulent communication is lawful. Assuming usury is lawful. Assuming that unjust weights and measures are lawful. And assuming that theft is lawful. The man-made civil law creates exceptions to God's standard of conduct, however, and does so on behalf of special interest groups, which is what a French economist meant back in the 19th century when he wrote his Economic Sophisms. I'm speaking of Frederick Bastiat, who said, quote, there are two ways to acquire the niceties of life. One is to produce them, the other is to plunder them. When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living together in society, they create for themselves, in the course of time, a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. So said Frederick Bastiat, a French economist from the 1800s or the 19th century. What caught my attention concerning the Federal Reserve System, at least, many years ago, was that it's not profit-motivated. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. But that's what they said, they being the Federal Reserve System's Board of Governors in Washington, D.C., as stated in their publication called The Federal Reserve System, Purposes and Functions, that being in the sixth edition, published in 1974. Immediately after this rather dubious statement, though, they casually admitted that the Federal Reserve does make substantial profits, in the billions. The same publication, but in the ninth edition for 2005, mentions how after paying all of their expenses, I wonder if those expenses are all legitimate expenses, or if an illegitimate business has illegitimate expenses. Anyway, they mention how after paying all of their expenses, they handed $22 billion over to the United States Treasury. Wasn't that nice of them? For an outfit recently caught passing $16 trillion under the table to their banker buddies hither and yon, at 0% interest apparently, $22 billion is a pittance. But it makes you wonder how well they'd be doing if the Federal Reserve System was profit-motivated. According to the Small Business Administration, SBA for short, 95% of all businesses go belly up. Well, they don't, not exactly in those words do they say it, but 95% of all businesses go bankrupt or shut down within 5 years of startup, and they're all profit motivated. Here's our music. This is our midtime break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. You're listening to Datum Line.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates. What I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
How important is the air we breathe? Our air purifiers are made with a patent process called Aeron. Aeron is different from ozone. Aeron does not create oxides of nitrogen like other ozone machines. Unlike any air purifiers out there, the Aeron generator adds additional energy, creating higher forms of oxygen. And when the Aeron molecule comes in contact with pollution, the pollution is quickly oxidized. These higher forms of energized oxygen have more power to oxidize pollutants, removing dust, pollen, mold, and other particles from the air. Destroying chemical fumes and toxic gases kills mold, mildew, fungi, and kills many viruses and bacteria in the air and on surfaces for a healthier, cleaner environment. Visit our website, republicbroadcasting.org. That's republicbroadcasting.org. Just click on our online store or call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Be prepared. How important is the air we breathe?
Greetings and welcome back to this half of Datum Line. On the other side of this last break, I had mentioned how the Federal Reserve, in print, admitted that they were, number one, not profit-motivated. I'm sure a lot of you are thinking that that's got to be a wild statement, and I agree, because there's nothing as profitable as banking, particularly central banking. Nevertheless, they admit that after they pay all of their expenses, they don't say what those expenses are, that they were able, out of their excess profits, to give a cool $22 billion to the United States Treasury in the year 2003 alone. That's not bad for being a not-for-profit operation. Just imagine what they might have been able to do had they been profit-motivated. It staggers the mind, doesn't it? And what's $22 billion? Well, if you were to spend $22 billion, that would be like spending $22,000 times a million days. 22,000 times a million days. That would be $22,000 a day for nearly 2,740 years. Put it another way, starting at the birth of Christ, a $22,000 per day spending spree would bring us all the way up to the year 2012, this year, with almost 730 years needed beyond today's date to shop until you drop at the rate of $22,000 a day. That's what they gave back to the United States Treasury out of the kindness of their heart. I'll bet if those same folks who had started up the businesses that I mentioned SBA say go out of business, 95% of all businesses that start up in America go belly up within 5 years of startup. And they're all profit motivated. But I'll bet if those same folks had started a not-for-profit business on the lines of our central bank, they'd have done a lot better. Until, of course, some government agency began snooping around. After which, 95% of them would have gone to prison. What do you think? So what I'm saying is that this has not been a free enterprise system since the Federal Reserve System opened for business in 1914. Then confiscated our gold and silver, and left a bewildered public totally dependent on the credit that bankers create out of absolutely nothing. But what about this word capitalism? And specifically, the root word, capital. We'll turn to Black's Law Dictionary, 5th edition, page 189, and the definition of capital. Capital, they say, quote, accumulated goods, possessions, and assets used for the production of profits and wealth. It's not just the fact that you have goods and possessions or assets. It's that you have them and are using them for the production of profits and wealth. Capital is something that you invest or use in getting more wealth. But they say that capital is assets. I want to stop there. Federal Reserve notes, what most people call paper money, erroneously, because there's no such thing as paper money, what most people list as assets when seeking a phony bank loan. Now, Federal Reserve notes, on the other hand, are listed as liabilities on the asset and liability statements of each and every Federal Reserve Bank, year by year. Did you catch that? You can write to the Fed and ask for a liability statement for pick a year, you know, all the way back to 1914. They'll send it to you, or at least they used to. Honest notes, which do not include Federal Reserve notes, are liabilities. Dishonored notes, such as Federal Reserve notes, because they no longer promise to pay the money, you understand, and haven't since after Kennedy was assassinated. Dishonored notes, like the Federal Reserve notes, when received for goods and services, maybe your goods and services, are, according to accepted bookkeeping practices, to be listed as bad debts and treated as an expense. Is this how you itemize Federal Reserve notes on your income tax forms, if you fill those things out? Or do you pretend that Federal Reserve notes are assets? I don't know what I'm talking about, right? Well, let's listen to the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, their publication entitled Two Faces of Debt, Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago, page 4. This was published back in 1978. Quote, currency, which most people think is a Federal Reserve note, currency is so widely accepted as a medium of exchange, in other words, money, that most people do not think of it as debt. Did you realize that the Federal Reserve note in your pocket was not an asset? It's a liability, and it's listed as a liability on the asset and liability statements of each and every Federal Reserve Bank. And the Fed is telling you that it's a debt. Now, what's debt? Black's Law Dictionary refers to and relies upon State versus Duce. Debt is a sum of money due or owing, period. Is money due or owing? Money. Can a chicken that you haven't eaten yet be the chicken dinner? Hope that one isn't too difficult to figure out. Let's continue with the definition for capital, however, from Black's Law Dictionary. They go on to say that owner's equity in a business constitutes capital. They say often used equally correctly to mean the total assets of a business, sometimes used to mean capital assets. In accounting, the amount invested in a business. Now, they don't say the amount of what. They just say in accounting, the amount invested. Now, is that the amount of credit invested in the business, or is it the amount of money? Because money and credit are not synonymous, are they? Well, they don't say. Let's go on. In economic theory, there are several meanings. That doesn't surprise me. Capital may be used to mean capital goods, production. Well, that makes sense. The money available for investment. But America doesn't have any money. But if you disagree, you tell me what the money is the government collects, spends, or wastes, or the banks pretend to lend. That's measured in dollars, and I'll give you 100 pounds of it absolutely free. Notify RBN that you want me to send you the money. The money available for investment or invested. The discounted value of the future income to be received from an investment. That's kind of abstract. The real or money value of total assets, but again, there's no money. Money or property used for the production of wealth. And again, America has no money in circulation. We demonetize the only two monetary substances declared by law to be money. That was gold, demonetized in 1933-34. Silver, demonetized between the year 1963 and 1968. And Congress never officially declared any tangible thing to be used as money to replace them. America operates on 100% pure credit. And that's exactly what the Federal Reserve System says in Keeping Our Money Healthy, Federal Reserve Bank of New York, page 12, published 1977. And I quote, "And you recall the Federal Reserve System works only with credit, period. That's the end of it, okay? Credit, not money. Credit and money are not synonyms, okay? It's all simple English. But we didn't learn English when we were in school. I wonder why. I wonder who runs the school system. Okay, from the definition that we received from Black's Law Dictionary, can we determine whether capital is tangible wealth only, or does it include intangible credit? It looks like it's only tangible wealth, and we'll get to the subject of wealth in a moment, and does not include intangible credit. But let's use a little common sense, which Voltaire said in his day was not very common. Could you, for instance, write a check for, let's say, $250,000 on an empty bank account? That's an account that has no numbers in it. Call it capital and use it to buy stock in a company listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Do you suppose the SEC would consider you as a free enterprise capitalist competing with investment banks in America's free market? Or would they charge you with attempted fraud and theft of company stock shares? Do you think you could list a pump shotgun as a capital investment tool used to acquire more wealth at, let's say, a local True Value hardware store? Would the state prosecutor in your case identify you as a capitalist in his sworn complaint? I think you know the answer. Instruments of theft are not capital. Federal Reserve notes, which are not federal, are not claims to any monetary reserves pledged as collateral against such notes, and are thus not notes by definition, are what? They're instruments of confiscation. Confiscation in favor of the issuer who gets them for nothing. The last party to hold them in this economic game of hot potato will get nothing for them. Hang on to them and see for yourself. Federal Reserve notes do not identify who will pay what, to whom, or when, all of these being essential elements to define a note. Somehow, the Federal Reserve System was made exempt from the definition that binds you and me when we write notes. And oddly enough, those, quote, honest, constitutional, debt-free money, end quote, advocates, apply the same exception to their own brand of legal plunder, usually called United States notes, Lincoln greenbacks, or social credit. Well, fancy that. But what is meant by the word wealth? That's a word that we use once in a while. Let's go to Black's Law Dictionary, which this time does not rely upon a court site, but simply gives you a straight definition. It's a rather lengthy one. Listen to this. Wealth. Large quantity of possessions, assets, securities, and the like. Securities. Well, those are IOUs. I wonder who said that. State of having abundant financial resources and properties. I would say that that's being wealthy, not wealth. All material objects capable of satisfying human wants, desires, or tastes, having a value in exchange and upon which, here we go, human labor has been expended, i.e., which have by such labor been either reclaimed from nature, extracted or gathered from the earth or sea, manufactured from raw materials, improved, adopted, or cultivated. The aggregate of all the things, whether material or immaterial, that could be your labor, which contribute to comfort and enjoyment, which cannot be obtained without more or less labor. and which are objects of frequent sale. The labor of an electrician, for example. You can't really see the labor, but you can see the results of it. And you could probably measure the amount of horsepower or some sort of energy that he produces if you were to watch him long enough and he had the right instrumentation. Okay. Now, that's a rather comprehensive definition of wealth. I like definitions that are more concise and, I think, more precise. And so I'm going to turn to the late Merrill Jenkins of St. Louis. And he, he was an inventor, not an economist. He said that wealth is something produced by human exertion. You notice how in Blacks he talked about labor, human labor, mentioned it several times, three times anyway. Something produced by human exertion having an exchange parity in the marketplace. Something produced by human exertion having an exchange parity, or value, if you will, in the marketplace. Now, units of theft are not production through labor or exertion. While you may labor for Federal Reserve notes in direct proportion to the dollar denomination, I guarantee you the Federal Reserve and Uncle Sam do not. Dinnerware, kitchen utensils, and equipment, tables and chairs, are all personal property to a homemaker. But to a restaurant owner, they are capital. See, they're used to get more wealth. Woodworking tools to a homeowner are personal property. But to a carpenter by trade, they are capital. A rubber check is not capital. Why? Because a rubber check is not wealth used to get wealth. But it can very easily expropriate wealth, and that's where people get confused. A dishonored note, like a Federal Reserve note, is not capital or wealth used to get more wealth. But the Federal Reserve and Uncle Sam use them to expropriate the wealth of everyone else in their downline. The public use them to steal from each other as compensation for what was stolen from them by the Federal Reserve and Uncle Sam. You know, Senator Thomas Benton of Missouri understood this way back in the 1830s when he identified bank credit for what it was then and is still now. He called it, quote, fictitious capital, end quote. So that now begs a question. Is fictitious capital capital? Yes or no? Is fictitious butter, goes by the name of margarine, is fictitious butter butter? Yes or no? So if this is not a free enterprise capitalist system and was already on its deathbed when FDR tried to allegedly save it from the ravages of a Great Depression in the 1930s, then what on earth is it? Surely it must have a name. Why not call it fascism? Fascist economic systems are run by large corporations, aren't they? That's what they are. And they're lubricated by intangible credit. I don't know of a fascist system that ever operated on gold and silver coinage, lawful money as we would call it here in America. As more of these corporations receive federal bailouts, like General Motors did, the system then morphs into a socialist model, doesn't it? How do we know that? Well, there's a maxim of law. You remember he, if this is an old Latin maxim, he, this being the corporation, who seeks the benefit, which would be the bailout, must stand to the burden. Well, what's the burden? If the government is going to bail out General Motors, the government is going to run General Motors. And the interesting thing about it is that while the federal government claims to be the creditor of General Motors, the federal government owes way more than General Motors did, and yet General Motors took a loan or a bailout from a bigger debtor, the biggest debtor on the planet, exceeded by only one other debtor. That's the banking system itself. How so? The banks have not put into circulation the money they promised to lend. The debt is on them. But in order for us to understand that, we have to be able to define our terms, which Americans are loath to do at this point in time. Not everyone, but as a general rule. So, ours is a giant economic casino, I guess we could call it. And to play the game in this system requires that you rent the chips, they're called dollars or book entries, from the house or the casino. Whoever owns the chips owns the casino. The owner of the Federal Reserve claimed to own, albeit unlawfully, our debt-ridden casino. If you understand this principle, you're on your way to being freed from the mind game that has been played upon. Not only Americans, but billions of people around the world. The word free and free enterprise carries with it the idea of being unrestrained and independent. Unrestrained and independent of whom? Unrestrained and independent of what? The non-bank public is totally dependent upon bank credit, every dollar of which is on loan to someone, with an interest burden on top of that, all owed to the Federal Reserve or one of its downtown member commercial banks. It's our music. We've got another break. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Datum Line.
Introducing Michael Anthony's Private Stock Herbal Formulas, infection killer for all infections, viral, bacterial, fungal, parasitic. My Rapid Heal for all injuries enables the body to mend super fast. My System Toner, the Rejuvenator, tune-up for the entire body, head to toe, keeping it youthful, the mind positive and focused. Dragon Juice, the Revitalizer, pure power in a delicious drink. If your body's dragging, you need Dragon Juice. Lung formula for asthma and all lung afflictions, arthritis fix, great tasting herbal teas and more. Michael Anthony's Private Stock exclusive herbal formulas. To find out more, call 845-231-1094 or email Michael Anthony's Private Stock at yahoo.com. Michael Anthony's Private Stock exclusive herbal formulas.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Well, welcome back to the final segment of this Datum Line broadcast. You know, if the banking system shut off or even slowed down public access to those phony book entries that people call dollars, such as by raising the interest rates, that slows things down, they will end up confiscating the public's wealth through the engine of foreclosure for want of sufficient book entries, called dollars, in circulation in the marketplace to cover all the outstanding monthly payments. You see, the payback window never closes, even though the loan window can open up wide or narrow down and even shut down. And when it does that, the existing dollars in the marketplace will begin to disappear into the banker's ledger books. Here's how a former credit manager with the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta put it many years ago, and I'm going to quote from Robert H. Hemphill, former credit manager, Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, who said, quote, "This is a staggering thought. We are completely dependent upon the commercial banks." And the Federal Reserve is the chief commercial bank, you see. "Someone has to borrow every dollar we have in circulation, cash or credit." Back in his day, there was cash. "If the banks create ample synthetic money, we are prosperous. If not, we starve. We are absolutely without a permanent money system." When one gets a complete grasp of the picture, the tragic absurdity of our hopeless position is almost incredible. But there it is. It is the most important subject intelligent persons can investigate and reflect upon. It is so important that our present civilization may collapse unless it becomes widely understood and the defects remedied very soon. Robert H. Hemphill, former credit manager, Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta. See, everybody who works for the Federal Reserve is not a bad guy. Each one of the Federal Reserve Banks employs somewhere around 2,000 people, and most of them have not got a clue as to the criminal aspect of what they're doing. The owners of this system lie shielded way behind all sorts of facades and protections. That's why people never heard of the wealth of the Rockefellers, and most people in America have never heard of the Rothschild family. That's a family so wealthy that they can actually buy, if you will, anonymity. Why would anybody want to do that? Well, if you did what they were doing, you would want anonymity too, from the lynching mob. Okay? See, banks create the synthetic lubricant for the engine of trade and commerce, and credit progressively replaced the natural lubricant of lawful money, our gold and silver. When we open up our next broadcast, we'll discuss a little bit about this thing called freedom in a free market. And again, as I've pointed out in this broadcast and in the previous broadcast, America does not have a free enterprise economic system. At least I don't think you do if we define the words properly. Now, you may disagree with that, and you may feel absolutely free. But it wasn't a free economy back when FDR tried to save it either. I'm Bruce D. McCarthy. You've been listening to Datumline, and I hope this has been of interest to you. Thank you for listening, and have a good day. God bless you.